The Rapids podcast is presented by Advocare, the official sports nutrition partner of the Colorado Rapids. Here are your hosts, Richard Fleming and Connor McGahee.
Greetings from Dick's Sporting Goods Park. Still no news on a head coach? I know you're all asking yourselves that. Thought I'd get that in before you asked out loud in your car, in your home, wherever you may be listening to this edition of the Rapids podcast. Instead, we'll continue to wade through the year, which is fading before our very eyes as November has come in cold and quickly. This week, we take a look back to February and the conclusion of preseason. Richard Fleming has compiled this report.
The shortest month of the year brought with it six games across two states. It gave us our first glimpse of the new signings as well as the draft picks. We also saw midfielder Michael Azira for the first time in 2017. Azira had been with the Uganda national side at their first Africa Cup of Nations since 1978. All of this came at the end of a wonderful 12 months in which Azira had gone from being a bit part player at Seattle Sounders FC to a mainstay in Colorado, and it found his way onto the international stage also.
It's been a fantastic year for me and my family, and we've reached places where we didn't expect to reach, and I'm really excited and for the coming year, but this part has been awesome. For me as a player, I've grown and learned a lot, and I've been able to provide and for my team to work as hard as I could to help my team out to reach the goal, go to the playoffs. And that was a good turnaround for me and my team. So it was an exciting year. It was all hectic, but that's what we live for. We live to play and make good experiences. So I'm excited and I was excited this past year and I look forward to make more better memories this coming year.
February began with the squad still in California, where they played two scrimmages against PDL side Ventura County Fusion. They tied the first one 1-1 before impressing second time around with a convincing 6-1 victory. We spoke with Jared Watts soon after on the Rapids podcast.
Preseason, I think, is it's an interesting time because, you know, you got new faces, new pieces to the team that are coming in, and you're wanting to make sure that they gel and make sure that they, you know, become a part of the group as quick as we can. But at the same time, I think we want to improve on from what we did last year, but we don't want to forget, you know, how we were able to get success. So it's just keeping those things, those core values, you know, being a very good defensive team, being hard to break down, and we want to keep those things as a part of our team, as a centerpiece, but also we want to add and improve, you know, different things. So preseason, for me, it's about getting sharp. You have 6 weeks it is to kind of, you know, get on the same page. And it's nice to kind of have these trips within preseason because maybe the first week in Boulder, we focus on a certain aspect of the game, whether it's, you know, playing in the defensive third or getting into the middle third of the field. Then when we moved to LA, it was more of, okay, when we get to the attacking third, movements in the attacking third. And then when we get to Tucson, it'll be more of resharping those defensive, you know, aspects of our game and our team and then getting some more MLS games. So I think each little trip you can kind of treat as your own camp. So I think that's an advantage that we have. And yeah, it's been good so far, so it's exciting that we're going to be down in Tucson soon and get some MLS games in.
It was, of course, a busy off-season for Jared Watts. He'd got married to Ali in the small window allowed. The team returned briefly to Colorado before heading south to Arizona for the Desert Diamond Cup in Tucson. Video review was being trialed at the event, and it came to the Rapids' rescue in their very first game against Sporting Kansas City. They were awarded a penalty late on after an incident had been reviewed, allowing Dylan Powers to level from the spot. Bobby Berling came on as a halftime sub in that game.
It was kind of interesting and ironic timing because we actually had the competition and referee meeting the day prior. And so as we were kind of going through some of these new protocols and how they were explaining some of the stuff and how it would be called, we didn't really know. As players, you just kind of, you know the rules, obviously, but you don't really know how it's going to play out. And I was on the sideline for the penalty in the second half, but in the first half, there was a questionable penalty possibly as well. And that one was reviewed and said it wasn't a penalty. That one would have been against us as well. So in the case of two instances, I think from what I was told that they got them right and both circumstances were looked at and viewed at. And it's a process that obviously we don't want to take delays in the game, which, you know, baseball and football and some of these other American sports, I guess, have at times when a play is challenged. And trying to perfect that system, I think, will take some time. And they're very upfront with that as well, saying, look, this is a kind of a trial period to see how you know, this progresses, and we're using preseason games, and, you know, obviously the feedback we get and the feedback we conclude is something that we'll take moving forward. So fortunate for us, it was, you know, something that helped us out in the end. And I guess overall in the day's work, that's what you want to see is the proper call awarded. So definitely we'll be happy with the beneficiary of that call.
The Rapids followed that tie with Sporting KC with a 3-1 win over New England Revolution 2 weeks before the teams would meet in the season opener. Then a volley from Sam Cronin gave the Rapids a 1-0 victory over New York City FC. Andrea Pirlo, who this week announced his retirement from the game, was his usual mesmeric self. But one young man who was able to watch and learn from just feet away was Rapids draft pick Sam Hamilton.
I mean, this is a guy that I've grown up watching. I've studied him. I look up to him. But at the same time, and there's a reason why we're playing on the same field. You know, I've worked hard to get here, not to say that I'm on his level, but it's when you step on the field and you play with him, you realize that you've worked to have that opportunity. And I think playing against him, it was, you know, I saw a lot of things that I've watched live, and then I watch him on the field next to me. It's just it's cool. It's a good experience, but it's definitely something I need to get used to. I watched him in the first half, and then when I was playing against him, I saw things that I'd picked up watching him on TV, you know, and then you watch it live, and it's a little bit different. There's just like one little more thing in how he moves, how the ball comes off his foot, you know, one little thing that you missed. And I think, you know, you play him against the game, and then I watched it again last night, and there's just little habits, little things that he does that make him great.
The Rapids wrapped up their preseason with a 2-0 loss to Houston Dynamo in the final of the Desert Diamond Cup, ending a month in which new assistant coach Connor Casey had been inducted into the Colorado Soccer Hall of Fame. So the preparation was over, the horizon heralded a new season. It was all about to get very real.
The aforementioned Richard Fleming joins me now to discuss some of the news from around the league this week. Brad Friedel being talked about and is the new head coach of New England. Both Robbie Rogers and Andrea Pirlo announced their retirement for the game, and Montreal Impact have a new head man and former Aston Villa manager Remy Gard. A lot happening around MLS.
Yeah, I think the Robbie Rogers news came as no surprise to some. I'd heard whispers back in the summer, kind of June, July time, so I'm not entirely sure why he waited until the end of the season, but, you know, we wish him and his family well. Of course, Rogers, and he's mentioned it on his social media platforms, in his latter years, and as a result of his playing in latter years, he'll be remembered as being the first out footballer in Major League Soccer. And I think, you know, still the fact that we highlight that is rather sad. And hopefully it's kind of a watershed moment, the Robbie Rogers announcement 3 or 4 seasons ago. And let's hope that in the future, more athletes are able to feel, you know, let's be honest, are able to feel comfortable enough within sport and within themselves to come out and be themselves and be happy. And he actually wrote this week his one regret was he was not brave enough to come out sooner during his 11-year career. Now, all of that said, we'll remember also Robbie Rogers as being a pretty decent player. He of course, represented the US 18 times. He played with Columbus, LA Galaxy here in Major League Soccer, and had a difficult time at times in England at Leeds United, and then he went a little bit lower down the leagues with Stevenage Borough, of course, played under Gary Smith at Stevenage. 2 MLS Cups, 2 Supporters Shields, so he'll have had a decent career. Still only 30, but I imagine, you know, he's got a young child now, but that'll keep his hands full for the next few years, I imagine.
Well, and Andrea Pirlo departs the game having achieved pretty much everything. The best quote this week following the news came from Pirlo's former Italian teammate, Gennaro Gattuso. Was I like Pirlo? Let's not talk BS. Let's not confuse Nutella with fine chocolate. And that was brilliant. Made me chuckle 100%. He had a 22-year career, 872 league games, 116 international games for Italy, 6 Serie A titles, including 4 in a row with Juventus. With AC Milan, he helped lift 2 Champions League and 1 Club World Cup trophy. He was a part of the World Cup winning side in 2006, and during that tournament, Italy faced the United States, and Pablo Mastroianni sent off for a foul on Pirlo, a maestro and a magician and a player who is just a joy to watch. And that brings us to Brad Friedel taking over at New England Revolution. This follows the dismissal of Jay Heaps towards the end of the regular season. Are you surprised at a couple things? Mainly the fact that Brad Friedel would leave television to take this job.
Yeah, I mean, firstly, I'm going to say this. I do find it still a little laughable. MLSsoccer.com continues earlier in the week
report,
as they did.
Report.
They had these reports. and they
just
published
a robot in New York City going, report, report.
But they have this caveat, don't they, with such and such reports that, and then they regurgitate speculation. And you know, maybe it's just me, but I just don't think it should be the role of a site that represents the league, and especially since any coaching announcements will be made only after details have been seen by the league. So it's almost akin to insider trading. There will be people within those offices that know that the stories that they're publishing, which have got speculation or report attached to them, have got a semblance of truth because conversations will have been had within that building. So I would say leave that speculation to the independent journalists and then report after the fact. On the Friedel score, you know, his experience is limited. His coaching experience is limited. A top goalkeeper, one of the best goalkeepers that the US has produced alongside the likes of Casey Keller and, of course, our own Tim Howard. It could be a risk. He's had some coaching experience, I think, with U17s and U19s, U20s. So age group level with the national side, that's very different to the day-to-day running, the logistics, the training, the man management in the locker room, all of that behind the scenes. And, of course, just merely the day-to-day planning and dealing with players, with senior players, with the travel, with everything else. Yes, he's played at a very high level, but stepping into a club which I would imagine at this stage needs a strong hand and a stable hand and an experienced hand. It's a rather risky strategy, I'd say.
When we come back, we'll have a very special guest on the podcast. Don't go anywhere. The Rapids Podcast, presented by Advocare, will return.
Colorado Rapids 2018 season tickets are on sale now. Don't miss out on the action as the Rapids take the field for 17 home matches at Dick's Sporting Goods Park next season.
And it's Marlon Hairston in the blink of an eye. They're back on level terms. This is some contest.
Go to coloradorapids.com to find out about the exclusive season ticket member benefits, including meet the team party, game day experiences, and stadium discounts. Go to coloradorapids.com.
Welcome back to the Rapids Podcast, presented by Advocare. We have one last surprise. The one and only Dylan Gannon is back. Back and better than ever, aren't you, Dylan?
I'm back. We don't know if we're better, but we are definitely back.
Don't sell yourself short, Judge. You're a tremendous slouch. 2 weeks in a row, this has to be a record, perhaps?
It's close. You know, did you ever play Mario Party as a kid?
You know, there was a break after, I think I had Mario Kart, and okay. I never made it to Mario Party.
Okay, so then some people
But somebody listening has definitely played Mario Party.
So
he's probably playing Mario Party whilst listening to this.
Probably. I mean, that's kind of my dream. But anyway, when you ever play a mini game and you set a new record, there's a new record noise that comes on.
I've heard it, yes.
Okay, good. So anyway, Rich is out there. He's going to fact check to see if we have had back-to-back weeks together. Rich will get back to us at some point.
He is the Colorado Rapids Podcast Stats Department. So we have our stats people working on that right now to confirm that.
Cheers, Rich. Appreciate you. But regardless, well, I'm not sure that this is a good thing for the listeners that you and I are back chatting about footy so regularly. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to be back on.
Probably, almost definitely not a good thing. But let's go, shall we? What do you have for us today?
Let's talk U.S. men's national team, shall we? Ever since the U.S. was officially eliminated from World Cup qualifying, there's been a tremendous amount of speculation about the future of the men's national team, the Federation, and its leadership, with a particular focus on the role of the Federation's president. And I think over the past few weeks, one of the more interesting developments is the sheer number of people who have thrown their hat into the ring to run for this position.
You know, and we've seen all sorts of names come out of the woodwork past couple
Legitimately
weeks.
All sorts of names.
Literally all sorts of names. You're going to get to that in a second. One of the names, though, I've seen rumored is Landon Donovan. And why not? Because when all this come out, Caligiuri's come out, Kyle Martino's come out, one of the best men's national team players of all time. But someone who, at least to my knowledge, has yet to officially declare his nomination.
And now there's rumors that he's not going to run. It it's back and forth. Obviously, we still have a long time to figure out, you know, who all those candidates are going to be. But like you said, there are a number of people that have gone out there. You know, you said Winalda, Carlos Cordero, Steven Gantz, Michael Winograd, Paul LaPointe, again, Kyle Martino, Connor McGahee's considering throwing his name.
I'm thinking about it. You know, I've heard Michael McDonald's, you know, throwing it out there
just
as well.
Everyone out there.
Yam will be there for USSF president.
But what is interesting is incumbent Sunil Gulati has yet to officially declare, although it is widely expected that he will. The next few months are going to be really interesting and formative. But I think the main point of emphasis here is we want and we need someone who is going to take the sport to the next level.
It's an interesting point because I feel like I've had a front row seat to watch how the sport has grown over the last decade. And while missing the World Cup definitely stings, I think that we're headed in the right direction. Hold on. You have an incredibly talented group of young Americans coming through the ranks. You have world-class players like Sebastian Giovinco, Miguel Almiron, who, by the way, could be sold for close to $20 million.
$20 million.
I know, that's Austin Powers reference there. If rumors are true, $20 million playing here in Major League Soccer. You have new expansion markets showing previously unparalleled enthusiasm for the game. Look out for Nashville. They just passed their stadium deal in the election this past week. MLS is growing. U.S. Soccer deserves a ton of credit for that. But the question becomes, on the international level, how do we improve? How do we ultimately get to the point where we're within reach of raising a World Cup? The next president of the federation, whoever that may be, has a huge opportunity to take this game to the next level. And you know what? As uncertain as it is, it's also exciting.
It is. It is very exciting. And I completely agree with you. And don't forget about the World Cup bid in 2026 as well, the entire
North American
bid. I mean, that's going
to how that's going to work? It's going to be North America 2026?
We will see what the
official. How would you brand it, Mr. Brand?
I would say it's North America.
North America 2026?
Yeah. That's what I would go.
You're going to have to put some grass into some stadiums, methinks.
Yeah.
There's a couple there.
That's above my pay grade with that.
Yes. And sorry to interrupt.
You're good. And, you know, as you said.
But I digest.
As you said, missing out on Russia is brutal. But I also think that seeing how upset that we are after failing to qualify really shows just how much people care about this sport. Could you have said that 15 years ago? If we had missed the World Cup, would there have been Taylor Twellman going on a rant on ESPN?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Alexi Lalas calling players out.
Exactly.
Not.
At least not to that degree. But now people are livid. And while the circumstances surrounding those emotions are less than ideal, the passion is great to see. Now keep in mind, MLS also had a higher average attendance than League One
and Serie A.
And Serie A, which is just amazing. I mean, we keep hearing that MLS attendance keeps growing, but to see those numbers actually written down in paper is mind-blowing. Yeah. That's really good.
Seattle Sounders have average better than both Milan clubs and Chelsea FC. Sorry, yeah. Richard, again.
I mean, and that's great to see. And then, of course, Atlanta with Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's wild right now. Now, whoever this next president is, it will be very important that they continue to build that passion to where MLS can continue its current trajectory and find its place as one of the top leagues in the world. Is this a one-year project? No. 5-year? Probably not. 10 years? 20 years? Who knows? But regardless of what happens, I think the future of soccer in America is very, very bright. And I also think that we are all very lucky to be a part of it.
There's no doubt about that, Dylan Gannon. There's no doubt.
Appreciate you, Connor.
No, Dylan. I appreciate you. And now, this part of the Rapids podcast brought to you by Lunasul Tequila. Made using only the best ingredients and classic techniques, Lunasul Tequila, one sip and you know. Richard Fleming, what do you?
Well, it's a little bit.
I haven't finished asking the question. What do you know?
It's actually following on from what Dylan was discussing. Kind of. You know, in the week that a number of candidates have...
There's now 78 people running
78
for
people running for the president of the USSF. My attention was drawn to an area of the game in this country which, part of all of that fallout from failure to qualify for the World Cup, this came under scrutiny. I was watching my six-year-old son play in his final match of the fall season last Saturday afternoon. It was interesting. Before the game started, a mum approached me for some advice. She wanted to know how good an opportunity it was for her 16-year-old son to go and play in an international tournament next summer in Madrid. And she was saying he's going to have 500 teams, and of those 500 teams internationally, only 20 were being drawn from the USA. And her quote, "It's costing us a lot of money, but think how good it will look on his resume for college." Fast forward 24 hours, on Sunday, I was at a gathering and a guy that was there started talking soccer. He was telling me he used to coach at youth level. He went on to say that some decent Hispanic players in his team gave up the game at fourth or fifth grade because the mounting costs forced them from the game. And there, my friends, lies part of the problem, not the problem, part of the problem, with the development and the growth of the sport in this wonderful country. Parents are caught up in the hype and the hope that somehow a sizable investment now will pay dividends down the road when it comes to college scholarships. The college scholarship carrot is dangled above almost every sport in this country, and that drives up the costs, and parents are prepared to play that game. But there's no way on this planet that the sport of soccer should cost $3,000 to $15,000 a year for a young person. Outside of professional clubs, those involved in youth sport back in my country are all volunteers. And a friend of mine recently put up on his social media post about two of his former players that he'd coached from the age of 6 or 7 up to the age of 14 or 15, and they'd just signed youth terms with Watford and Crystal Palace respectively. He and all of the managers and coaches and administrators are volunteers. They don't enjoy the salary. They don't make a single penny from helping young people firstly get involved in soccer and enjoy the sport, and then if they've got a real talent, helping to develop that ability. Sports clubs survive on goodwill, local investment, and minimal subscriptions. Unlike here, no youth soccer clubs enjoy multi-million dollar turnovers. But unlike here, no young person who wants to play this very simple sport finds themselves staring at an almost impossible financial outlay. Youth soccer is big business. Like any business, it's about making a profit. That's for them to decide, but it shouldn't be at the detriment of those who want to play but can't afford the extravagant costs associated with the game in this country. There should be space for both models. And I personally, I would love to start a not-for-profit club where the costs purely cover insurance, league fees, fields, referees and equipment. Nobody working for that club would draw a salary, and it would be open to all and be able to compete against those working with a different business model. Elsewhere around the world, soccer, the sport of soccer, grew up as a working class sport. Here, due to the cost of playing the sport, it's middle class with a hint of being elitist. You want to grow the game? It has to be far more inclusive, and it has to start at grassroots. And moving on, my final point, and I know this is a lengthy rant this week.
I like it though.
If we want to talk about maturing as a soccer nation, get rid of the best 24 under 24 list annually churned out by the league. Messi was World Player of the Year at 22. If you're hailing the best 20 under 20, that's progress. The development of the game and attitudes toward it need addressing. Competitive youth soccer has to be open to all, and we need to stop raving about players who elsewhere around the world have been in the pro system for 5 or 6 seasons. A promising 23-year-old has likely missed the boat to make it big in the game. But again, in a system where sport and college are so closely linked, this is the norm. And it's why fans and the media are going mad over Pulisic. Yes, he's good. He's a good player. But there is also an unhealthy obsession about his age. When people talk about Pulisic's talent, they also say, and he's only 19 or he's only 20. Because that is rare in the US, in sport and in soccer. Getting an education is fantastic. But there again needs to be a pathway through to the pros at an earlier age for those who academia doesn't suit. As with youth soccer and the youth soccer model, there has to be room for all.
So That's it for another week. The Rapids podcast returns next week with more reflection on 2017 and maybe a little movement behind the scenes. Who knows? Thanks for listening. See you next week. Goodbye.
The Rapids podcast is presented by Advocare, the official sports nutrition partner of the Colorado Rapids.